الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعاشروهن بالمعروف، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our young friends, we should be making our maqsad in life, our objective in life, our purpose and aim in this life, riza ilahi, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our mashayikh have emphasized that we are believers and our goal should always be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we all are aspiring towards. The ibadat we make, our dealings, our monetary dealings, our social conduct, our akhlaq, all these things, the real object what we are trying to achieve is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us His true pleasure. May Allah direct us to His pleasure. Since there will be two nikahs today, inshallah, and of course we share in the happiness of these two parties, the two families, or four families in fact, a believer is happy when his Muslim brother, sister, in their times of enjoyment, he also shares in the enjoyment, in the happiness. When there is gham, when there is sadness, when there is difficulty, then a believer also shares the grief. Unfortunately today, our lives have become such that we desire the downfall of our Muslim brother and sister. Hasad has come into our lives to such an extent that outwardly we portray as though we are very happy for the person. But in reality, hum chahte hai ki wo gire, 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 gire. We desire that the person must just fall, and any hardship comes upon him, some calamity afflicts him. In our heart we are happy. This is not the shan of a true believer. May Allah ta'ala give us true iman. May Allah direct us towards His true pleasure and give us a good akhlaq. So since there will be two nikahs taking place, we will discuss a few advices, some lessons that we have heard from our mashayikh, our elders, from Quran and Hadith, few incidents, a revision for all of us who are already married, and of course some advices for those who will be getting married today, inshallah. There were three sahaba who came to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ja'a thalathatu rahtin ila azwajin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yas'aluna an ibadatin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came to one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, inquired about the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home. What was his ibadah like? فَلَمَّا أُخْبِرُوا بِهَا كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا. When they were informed that Rasulullah does this ibadah, he reads this tahajjud, etc., the wife of Rasulullah briefly gave the gist of what he would do. These three sahaba deemed it, according to their understanding, to be little. The shura, the commentators say, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى فَهْمِهِمْ. To their understanding, they felt that it was, or they expected more. Nonetheless, they see Rasulullah is ma'asum, his past, present, every error in his life, anything, everything is forgiven. They are ma'asum, they committed no sins. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not have to exert himself, although we know he exerted himself to such extent that even Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would worry and be concerned sometimes that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left this world, and she would go and check whilst he was still in sajda that he's alive or not. Nonetheless, These three Sahaba made a pledge to themselves. One says, "Amma ana fa asumu wa la uftiru abadan. I will always keep roza every single day of my life. I will never miss a roza." The other said, "Amma ana usalli fa la arqud. I will read tahajjud salah the entire night. I will never go to sleep." And the third said, "Ana a'tazilu an-nisa. I will break aloof from getting married from women. I won't have any wife in my life." Rasulullah was then informed about these three Sahaba, what they said. So he called for them. He said, "Listen, I have got more taqwa and khashiyat of Allah Ta'ala than you have. Despite this, I keep roza, and some days I don't keep." We're talking about out of Ramadan, nafil roza. So it's not that every single day of my life I'm keeping roza. And I read tahajjud and I also rest. And I get married. Rasulullah said, "I have wives." Thereafter he says, "فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي." Collectively, this is my sunnah. That I keep roza, and sometimes I don't keep. I read tahajjud. I don't read sometimes. I sleep also. Not that I read tahajjud the entire night. And I also get married. This is my way of life. Whoever turns away from my way of life, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, then he cannot claim to be part of this ummah, of having a nisbat and connection with me. It's not of me. This nikah, the institution of nikah, is something which is extremely sacred, auspicious in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically lived a life where he married and he showed us an exemplary way of life. The manner in which he treated his wife, the harmonious relationship he had with them. Ulama have written to such an extent, the way he behaved with them, the way he conducted himself as a husband towards them, the generosity, the compassion, the love, the muhabbat, the mawaddat, the kindness, the tolerance, the patience, the manner in which he spoke to them, the manner in which he helped them with the household chores, was of such a level that none of his wives could ever envisage a life without him. They couldn't imagine the day when we have to separate or Rasulullah leaves us. In fact, there's a lengthy incident. On one occasion, Rasulullah offered them a separation if they wished. But each wife refused. Because of the bond and attachment they had with him on account of his love and the way he treated them. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the narration comes in Tabarani, in which he says that after Fajr Salah, it was the habit, the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit on his musalla where he performed his salah. Tarabba'a, he would sit cross-legged right till Ishraq time, in which he would engage in tasbihat, dhikr, etc. This was the general practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after performing Ishraq Salah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit each of his wives' home after Fajr Salah. The very first thing now he's doing in the day. And he would make salam to them first. He would ask them of their well-being and he would sit with each one for a little while and then finally go to that wife in whose turn it was for that day. The Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making salam. Can we recall when last we made salam to our wives? When we made salam entering the home, when this is such an important sunnah. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you enter your homes, you make salam, there'll be barakah for you and your family. In the riwayat of Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, after Asr Salah also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Asr Salah, he would come and visit his wives again. In the riwayat of Bukhari, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, after Rasulullah SAW would perform his two sunnat of Fajr in his home, and he would wait for Bilal radiallahu anhu to call him for Fajr Salah, the Fard with Jama'ah, In that interim, if I was awake, he would talk to me. So Rasulullah found time, he allocated time after Fajr, after Asr, specific time to sit with his wives, to give them a hearing, to sit and mutually discuss with them, talk to them, make them feel happy. Even when he was on a journey, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, and this narration comes in Bukhari and Muslim, where Rasulullah would draw lots, and then whichever wife's name would appear, then she would join him on that safar and journey. One occasion it was her name and Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha's name both appeared, and they both traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that journey. At night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ride his camel and look for the camel of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he noticed her camel, he'd bring his camel alongside hers, and then he'll begin to talk to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the co-wife of Sayyidina Aisha, of course the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she observed this, and she asked Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that why don't we swap camels today? Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did not know what was the plan and the intention behind this. She says, I will ride your camel and see things that you see, and then you can ride my camel and observe things that I normally see. So innocently, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha agreed. Sayyidina Aisha then reports, she says, and I watched that night that Rasulullah was riding his camel. He looked for my camel, which he normally would observe and see, and he comes alongside that camel which Hafsa was riding, because that was my camel. And after some time, I see both of them dismount and they are walking together and they are talking. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I felt pain and anguish at that time. But the point here is that even on a journey, how often we are traveling with our families, but we find ourselves so busy, we don't even have some time that we allocate to sit and talk to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. Lengthy incident, beautiful incident. Quran mentions Allah ta'ala performed this nikah in the heavens. Walima is taking place. Sahaba have come. They come in droves, in tents, they sit and they leave. Some Sahaba were still seated. Rasulullah said, even on that occasion, he is getting married, or he got married to a new wife. On that occasion also, he did not forget his wives. He goes to each wife, make salam, ask them how they are feeling. They say, wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And immediately each wife, very happily, they ask him, and how is your new bride? How is your new wife? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the narration of Muslim, he says, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Here again, even the day when he got married to a new wife, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi says, then to give comfort and ease to his other wives, it's natural that the person will become jealous. To have a husband like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to share him with somebody else, is natural. But then he would even comfort them, the other wives, even on those occasions. The intimacy he had with his wife, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on several occasions, when he would leave the home for the masjid, he would kiss me and then he would leave for the masjid. Whenever I drank some water from any utensil, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then take that utensil, that glass, and he would look for the place where I had placed my lips, and he placed his lips on that portion. She says, we would even bathe in the same tub of water. I made miswak, Rasulullah would take my miswak, after I use it, he would use it. See the intimacy, see the bond, see the relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite being the greatest of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, different delegations are coming to Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, battles are taking place, Jibreel alayhi salam is coming with wahi. He's going to see to the widows, the orphan, the poor, the needy. The entire ummah. Responsibility of the ummah is on his shoulders. Despite all this, he finds the time to run races with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in privacy and seclusion when no other sahaba were there. Not open in the public. In seclusion. The first time they ran a race, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she beat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on in life, when they ran a race, Rasulullah beat her and he reminded her of that time when she beat him, now he has beaten her. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah would place his Mubarak head on my lap and he would rest. The loyalty he had. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was his first wife. She stood by him, supported him, sacrificed all her time for him. After her demise, when he then married Sauda radiallahu ta'ala, then Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, then the other wives. He is now in Madina Munawwara. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala reports, he says, several narrations have been mentioned, in which he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would slaughter an animal. The animal will be then skinned and sliced, or pieces of meat will be then distributed to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'anha, who were living in Madina Munawwara. Out of his love for Khadija radiallahu ta'anha. And so often he would boast about her and talk about her. My Khadija, my Khadija, my Khadija was like this, she was like that. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'anha on one occasion became a bit upset. She says, although I had never seen Khadija in my life, radiallahu ta'anha, I did not see her. Sayyidina Aisha was a young girl, little child. She did not see Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala in Makkah. Although I did not see her, but I was so envious of her, that all the time the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about my Khadija, my Khadija. So I went up and said to him, as though there is no other wife, only Khadija. Rasulullah became upset. He said, she brought iman in me when others rejected me. She supported me when others abandoned me. She bore all my children. She was like this and she was like that. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha then realized. See the loyalty. Khadija radiallahu anha passed on in Makkah. Years later, he's still talking about Khadija radiallahu anha. Distributing meat after sacrificing an animal so that the sawab may reach her also. The tolerance he had, the tolerance, the patience. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the bosom friend and companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goes to visit him. And it so happened at that particular day, Rasulullah sallam was in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, who was the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and there was some little bit of argument taking place in which Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had raised a voice. As she's talking to Rasulullah SAW, she has raised her voice. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after taking permission, he makes salam, he enters. Before he can do anything, he goes straight for his daughter. Are you raising your voice above that of Rasulullah SAW? Are you talking to him in this way? He's about to slap her. Rasulullah SAW sees us, he intervenes. And he stops Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from doing so. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then leaves. Several days later, he comes back and he sees everything is very peaceful, everything quiet. There's no argument taking place. Everybody is happy. He says, do I have permission now? أَدْخِلَانِي فِي سِلْمِكُمَا كَمَا أَدْخَلْتُمَانِي فِي حَرْبِكُمَا. Enter me now in times of your peace, like how when I came the other time and you all were having some argument. Nabi Kareem some smiled. But when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left the first time, immediately he tells Sayyidina Aisha, how I saved you from the man. How I saved you from your father. He's about to smack you. And immediately I intervened and I saved you. With love and compassion. One occasion he tells Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, oh Aisha, I know exactly when you're not too happy with me. Of course, the wives of Rasulullah love Rasulullah dearly. It's natural, husband and wife. There are times when be some bickering, some argument. But they really love Rasulullah and they respected him. But Rasulullah tells her, I know the time when you're not so happy. Sometimes you're a bit sad. She says, How do you make that out? So he says, on those occasions when you're making dua, you say, Allahumma awallah, Rabb Ibrahim, the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Instead of saying Rabb Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Every other time, Allahumma Rabb Muhammad. And when you're upset a bit with me, then you say, Allahumma Rabb Ibrahim. She says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa salam, that is true. La ahjuru illa ismak. The only thing I've omitted is your name in my dua. Wallah, my heart is full with your love. My heart is filled with your love. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the other wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her camel is very weak. She is lagging behind. And suddenly she falls off the camel. She's young, she begins to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees, immediately he comes. And he consoles her. Imagine you and I traveling with friends and family and something happens to the wife and we go and make a such a din. Can't you see where you're walking? Can't you be more careful? So clumsy, so careless. You're an embarrassment to me. Rasulullah kneels down. He picks her up. He wipes off the tears from her cheeks. Then very gently, he bends down until she is able to put her foot onto his lap. And then she mounts the camel. So much of care. Perhaps we may do it on two occasions. When you just married, then you got your car, they'll open the front door for your wife. Or when you got a brand new car, then you open the front door so she doesn't bang the door. Which day we ever opened the car for our own father? Which day we ever did that for our mother? With all due respect. Please don't misconstrue and misunderstand. But for our sheikh, we will do it. For ustad, perhaps we'll do it. But your mother and father, you never had the tawfiq of opening the door and making them sit comfortably. For the wife, you won't do it, you feel embarrassed. Once Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the other wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell Safiya, O daughter of a Jew. She came from a Jewish background. Then she embraced Islam. Safiya radiallahu anha became very, very perturbed. She was upset. She began to cry. She goes and complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem some tells her, don't worry. There's no reason for her to be proud over you. Go and tell her that your father, in other words, she came from the lineage of Harun alayhi salatu salam. Your father is a Nabi of Allah. Your uncle is a Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu salam. And your husband is a Nabi of Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. So you've got two more extra things, more than Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala to brag about. Love, muwaddat, muhabbat, intimacy, tolerance. This is what we should be doing all the time. If we have Allah in our life, Riza ilahi, Allah in our life, in the khutbahs of nikah, taqwa, 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 three verses, all talking about taqwa. What is the taqwa? The taqwa is directing our attention to fulfill the rights of a wife. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention that a person when he gets married, if you tell him never to become angry, ghussa mat hona. Don't ever become angry in your wife, with your wife. Tolerate. Overlook. Obviously, they have many weaknesses. Many weaknesses. That is why in English you call it henpecking. All the time nagging, nagging, nagging. But we have to overlook. We have to tolerate. I'm not saying that the man is wrong every time. Many times the woman is wrong. But understand. Forgive. My respected father-in-law, Yunus Patel Rahmatullah, used to say, here's a hadith of Rasulullah when a man calls his wife to come to the bed and she refuses. Of course, the angel curses her right till the morning. 100% the hadith is there. There's no doubt about it.
But sometimes the wife, she's not feeling well. She's been working the entire day, she's weak, she's tired. You must also learn to make sabr. Have some pity over her. She fed your guests, your family, every person. She's not feeling very good that day. And he says, if you still become angry with her and upset, and the angels curse her, she can fall, she'll break her leg, she'll fracture her leg, there's more musibat for you then. You'll have to take her to the doctor, you'll be pareshan, all you have to do is exercise sabr and overlook. When it comes to our rights, we will demand. No, forgo our rights, give her her rights. And inshallah you will see that muaddat, muhabbat Allah Ta'ala talks about in the Quran. My respected brothers and elders, so many things I would love to share. Start ta'aleem at home. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saliji Sahab, Dhamad Barakatum, last night majlis, he explained very important that we need to have ta'aleem at home, and in the very first kitab, Bayasi Zawar of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, extremely important, especially for Masail, and Fazail Amal, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, extremely important. And you see some seerah kitab in which we'll understand the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he conducted himself with his family, with the people in Medina Munawwara, with his friends, with his children, with his grandchildren, with his wives, with the slaves, with the servants. Then inshallah we will implement these things in our lives. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give barakat in these nikahs. May Allah give us a tawfiq and hidayat to tolerate our wives, to live a happy life full of bliss with afiyat, with taqwa in our life. Our salat is most important. Rasulullah SAW mentioned also in the hadith, لا يفرك مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. That a husband should not disdain, he should not look down upon any quality, weakness of his wife. If he's not happy with something in her, look at some other quality, you'll become pleased with her. Look at some other good quality in her. So do not look at her weakness, because then you're going to complain and you're going to lose love for her. Look at her other good qualities. Inshallah, this will create the muhabbat. And finally, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to always say, the verse I quoted in the beginning, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. In dunya, we have a problem. We need something from the other party, or something went wrong, and we need somebody to intercede, so we find the person most closest. And that person will intercede on our behalf. Give the guy a break. Have some mercy, have some pity, forgive him, overlook his weakness. So we look for somebody to intercede on our behalf. In this particular verse, Allah Himself is interceding on the woman of this ummah. Allah is telling us, wa'ashiruhunna, O men of this ummah, O husbands of the ummah, as though Allah is interceding on behalf of the wives, treat them with care, love, and comfort and muhabbat. May Allah give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.